are here at the 2017 Northwest Credit Union Association Conference, MAX Conference, with who? Look who I ran into. Tom Johnson from Spokane Teachers Federal Credit Union. How are you, Tom?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Welcome to Spokane. We're glad to have you here.
It is beautiful here. The trees are turning. It's nice, crisp fall day out here. This is a
Chamber of Commerce weather.
Is it? Okay,
Northwest Credit Union Association weather.
It's perfect outside. Perfect.
We had the conference here, I think it was either 2 years or 3 years ago, and it just turned out to be a wonderful week, and it was great for those credit union executives from all across the Northwest to come and see Spokane, and it was a great experience that time, and I think we're having a rerun here this week. The weather looks to be great all week.
So. It's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good, and there's quite a decent crowd. I got to make sure my live cast mic is on, and it's not. Now it is. Now it is. Sorry about that.
Okay.
But hey, now that's on, but the crowd here is phenomenal. There are so many people here. What are some of your conference takeaways? What do you want to get from here and take back to your credit union?
Well, we just heard from a futurist, and it was an interesting perspective on integrating the traditions of the past. His reference would be to the analog world with the digital world going forward. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're trying to do some of that at STCU, and we believe that's really where the future lies for our organization and for all healthy credit unions across the country to figure out how to take advantage of that digital world and bring it to the traditional branch setting and continue to make the member the center of the whole process, but to do it in a way that works for them and makes their life simpler and easier. So that's the goal.
We're kind of in interesting times right now because we're all talking about the digitization of financial services, but there's still a big group of folks that really enjoy going to the branch and doing stuff the traditional way. So we're kind of catering to a lot of different needs right now.
It makes it very difficult because you'd never get to give up the past technology, but you have to keep adding these new opportunities. So I know I have a member call to respond to that came in yesterday about a member who's still using telephone technology to interface with
audio response or
audio response over the phone. And, you know, it's going to be a kind of a tough conversation because that's not something we're going to continue to invest in. Yeah. But for that member in his particular situation, it's very important. And so we'll do what we can to meet that need. But at the same time, we're dealing with, you know, the latest and greatest in our app for our millennials and trying to make their life simple and easy and be that trusted partner for them that they know that if they're working with us, their life savings is secure and safe and will be dealt with appropriately.
Very cool. Let's switch gears here for a second here. Let's talk about your love letter campaign. I found this very interesting, but for folks out there who haven't heard about it, what is it and what does it do?
Well, this goes back several years to a moment in time when there was a serious challenge to the federal tax exemption for credit unions coming out of an attack by the bankers in the Congress. And so CUNA put out a call to activate our members to get engaged and to encourage our members to reach out to their elected officials locally and to encourage their electeds to continue to support the tax exemption for credit unions. And when we received the marketing materials, the campaign materials from CUNA, which they had prepared, when we looked at them, we said to ourselves, this doesn't line up very well with our culture and our relationship with our members. And so we stepped back and we said, we think we could do this in a different way that would be more appropriate for our membership. And we turned that into a love letter campaign. And like all great things in life, I'd like to say that we invented it, but we actually stole this idea from Central Oregon Federal Credit Union. And I have to give a shout out to Kyle there, who had just about 6 months earlier shown me a letter writing campaign that he had instigated in Bend, Oregon to kind of do a little pushback against the banks there. And so we stole Kyle's idea and we implemented it here in Spokane and we spread the word amongst all of our sister institutions in Spokane. We have about a dozen credit unions. And what we did was we placed letters in our branches throughout the community, both STCU and all of our peers, that basically the top of the letter said, "Dear representative or congressperson, we love our credit union." And so this is a love letter to tell you that we love our credit union, and we don't want you to do anything that would damage or harm our relationship with our credit union, therefore the tax. And then it gave a blank for signatures.
Right.
So we gathered in Spokane something, I'm going to guess a number here because it's been a few years, but 75,000 signatures credit union members in the community, which filled up literally pages and pages and pages of three-ring binders. Then we made an appointment with our representative from Spokane, Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers, and we were able to catch her in her office, and about a half a dozen of us representing the credit unions of Spokane went in, equipped with our binders. We literally had about six 3-inch or 4-inch thick ring binders filled with these signature pages from our members saying, we love our credit union. And it was literally one of those goosebump moments where when I watched the representative's reaction to what we were presenting to her, she was dumbfounded. She was struck. She just couldn't believe. And she started opening. She said, well, first of all, what is this?
Yeah.
And we explained what we had done and why we had done it. And then she opened up the first book and she looked at the signatures. And she kept turning pages over looking at the signatures. And then she'd look up at us and go, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. But, you know, about half of her constituents in her district, her legislative district, are members of credit unions. And I pointed this out to her and I said, Kathy, this is important to them.
Yeah.
They do not want their credit unions to be attacked by the banks. So that was a very, very effective way for us to turn this from kind of a negative campaign against banks to a positive campaign and a message that our members love our credit unions. So let's not disrupt that model.
You're definitely taking the high road there, kind of a kill them with kindness type of thing.
Exactly. And it was extremely effective. And when I started working, making my advocacy calls with Representative McMorris Rogers 10 years ago, she was very protective of community banks because she had a family history. Her father and mother were orchardists in north central of Washington, and there were moments in their small business operation where they were operating on a shoestring, and it was only by the grace of the community bank there that their business continued to move forward. And so she had a soft spot in her heart for the community banks. And when I would go speak with her about the needs of credit unions, she would often kind of deflect that and say, well, I understand, but you know, I have some history with community banks. I want to make sure that they're protected as well.
Right.
And my point to her was, please recognize that about half of the constituents of your legislative district are members of credit unions.
That's a big number.
For a lot of people in Spokane, we are their community financial institution.
Yeah.
You know, so it's been a very good relationship with her over the years, and I think we've really gathered an advocate through consistent calling on her and working with her, and not just at our local level, but at the state level and nationally. So it's been fun to see that relationship develop and move in a positive direction for credit unions.
Well, I mean, you've proven the fact that consistency is key when communicating with these folks. You got to keep the name top of mind.
That's right. That's definitely part of it. And so I try to connect with her when she's in the district. I definitely, of course, go see her and call on her and work with her staff in Washington, D.C. and her district staff here in the district. So it's been a great joy to be able to do that over the years and try to make a positive difference for our movement.
That's a great story. Great story. And again, proof in the pudding that it works. Consistency works.
Right.
All right, let's get to you. You are retiring.
I am.
Is there, what, this year?
End of the calendar year.
Okay, end of the calendar year.
A couple more months.
But you have a very interesting perspective on the credit union industry. Obviously, a member of a credit union, but you've been a board member, a CEO. Tell us about that experience and how that has helped you, I guess, grow your credit union and keep it healthy and how it's maybe affected other credit unions in the area as well.
Sure. So I moved to Spokane about 28 years ago, I think it is now, and my prior life I was a financial executive for one of our local private universities, Whitworth University, so I was the CFO there for 17 years.
Oh, okay.
And about 3-4 years into that experience, I worked with one of the executives from STCU on a presidential search for the university that I was employed at. I was seeking a new president. And in the course of that process, I got to know the vice president of operations at STCU, and we worked together a long time on that search process. Near the end of the process, she said, "Are you a member of STCU?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I joined when we moved to Spokane." And she said, "Well, why don't you run for the board? We could use someone like you on our board." And I said, "What board?" And, you know, it kind of reflected the little that I knew about governance of a credit union. So one thing led to another, and I was elected to the board, and I served for 12 years on the board. And then it was more by accident than intent that I was having a conversation with our CEO at STCU at that time as a board member, and just a lunch conversation, getting updated on what was going on. And there was an open management position on his team, and he started to describe to me what he was looking for in a new person. And I was at a point in my career at the university where it was probably time for a change. And as I listened to him, many of the things he was looking for are things that I had had some exposure to in my current career at that time. And so I called him the next day and started a conversation. One thing led to another, and within a couple of weeks he called and said, "When would you like to start?" So I went to work for Steve Dahlstrom as a vice president of administration 11 years ago, and then 4 years into it, Steve retired, and I candidated for the position and was chosen by the board to succeed Steve. So I've been at this as CEO at STCU for the last 7 years, and coming up on my retirement at the end of this calendar year. So I've got a couple more months to go.
Okay.
So it's been a great run, and I have come to this on a different path than most. And so I had that 12 years of experience. And I think what was interesting for me personally was that the culture of the organization I was at the university, in a lot of ways, was similar to the culture of the credit union. So at the university, we were focused on the student. At the credit union, we're focused on the member. And both are very mission-driven kinds of organizations, both nonprofits, both similar in size and budget. And so for me, a move from the university to the credit union at that time was a fairly easy transition for me in terms of scope and responsibility and number of employees and size of operation. And it's worked out well. I've had a wonderful experience as CEO.
And it's also, at the same time, it's also good to have somebody with kind of an outsider's experience or perspective coming in and kind of a refreshing look at it, I guess.
Yeah, I know some of our management team members were a little apprehensive when I crossed the threshold joining them as from the board to become a member of the team. But it's worked out very well. They were gracious with me and trained me up. And so I owe a debt of gratitude to Steve, my predecessor, for bringing me along and getting me up to speed on industry specifics, because I hadn't grown up in financial services. But it's all worked out well, and I've had a great team surrounding me, and we've been able to move the ball forward for Spokane and for us and for our members. So it's been a good run.
That's a great story. Great story. I wish we could dive in way more, because we'll be here for a couple hours, but that would be awesome. That would be up. But you've got other stuff to do here, so I'm going to wrap it up here with what's your outlook what's your outlook on the industry for the rest of the year and then going into 2018? Because there's a lot of change going on, as you well know. We talked about the digitization at the top of our conversation. Right. How do you see it wrapping up, and how do you see 2018?
Well, I'm very bullish, and some of that has to do with the fact that we live and work here in the Northwest, where we've got great credit union support from the consumer. So nearly half the consumers in the state of Washington and generally in the Northwest are members of credit unions. That's a much larger percentage than anywhere else in the country. And specifically here in Spokane, we have a wonderful environment for credit unions to thrive. We're, a top 100 community, but barely. I think we're 98th or 99th in terms of size of population in the country. But it's a community and a place where credit unions are just the right fit for our size of community. So frankly, the large national banks are all here, so we have all of them represented, but none of them invest heavily in this market because it's not big enough. So we have about 1 million people in our metropolitan market, and yet that doesn't quite make the radar for a J.P. Morgan Chase or a B of A. They're here.
Oh, darn.
They have their branches, but they do not.
They bank those outside?
Yeah, they just don't pour a lot of resources into trying trying to cultivate this market. And so that leaves an opportunity for us. And we've been able to fill that void and do a nice job of it. And we, when I say we, I mean all the credit unions here in Spokane. So we have four substantial credit unions that serve the market: Horizon, Numerica, STCU, and Global. And we do a great job, I think, serving our community, serving our members. So I'm very bullish. I think the future is bright for Spokane. I think it's bright for all the credit unions here. And yes, there are lots of challenges converting to this new digital environment, but I know there are great people in our organization that are going to be following me, who will lead it in some great new directions. So.
Great message to end on. Tom, thank you so much for hanging out with us for a little bit. I know you got lots of folks to say hi to and network and stuff, but appreciate you hanging out for a few minutes with us.
Bet.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you.